market.
The S&P, the ASX stocks.
This is Motley Fool Money.
Welcome to Motley Fool Money, the podcast that frankly deserves a Logie or an Emmy, maybe just a participation award.
If we're lucky.
We'll take it. I'm Andrew Page, and Scott Phillips is with me as always. Thanks, mate.
G'day, Andrew. G'day, fools. It's good to be with you. Kind of not really, right?
Well, we were with you a couple weeks ago when we recorded this.
Yeah, you're listening to this next week, or we were here last week or something. We're probably sitting by the pool. No, we're probably at work, actually. But we're not here in the studio. We pre-recorded this. This is our special look back on 2017 with some awards.
Yes, the Foolies, we're calling them.
Oh, like Logie, Fool.
Genius.
We are very clever
people.
We
are genius.
Why aren't the marketing people knocking down our door saying, please come and design the next big Coke
ad? It's a mystery to me, my friend. It is a mystery to me.
We should have a branding consultancy or something.
The Foolies.
The Foolies.
The best and worst of 2017.
The crowd goes wild.
We've got a whole bunch of awards that we're going to give out. The good, the bad, the ugly. A whole bunch of stuff that's happened that we think deserves special mention.
Very good.
And, mate, we had a lot of fun with this, and it was tough. It was really tough to sort of come up with some winners here. So in many instances, we've got some runner-ups.
Partly because we also wanted to build the tension.
That's what they do on the game shows.
Yeah. The nominees are, you know, the voiceover and the guy in the black suit with the tie. We're actually wearing tuxedos in the studio here, Phils.
Of course we are.
We have drinking champagne. We have... We're in our finest.
That's right.
You're in shorts.
Yeah, totally am.
I'm in a t-shirt.
But they're my business shorts. So
our special Foolie Award shorts.
That's right.
Every year you'll have to wear those same shorts.
I will. Mate, I've only got one pair, let's face it.
Please wear the shorts.
So where
we started off
we...
well, haven't we?
Oh, God.
This has been a big year for bubbles.
It has, hasn't it?
Let's start. Drum roll, ready? Actually, we'll do a drum roll for the announcement.
Okay.
What, Andrew Page, was the most overhyped stock of 2017?
Well, mate, there was a couple of good contenders here.
Weren't
we have
there?
To think back. It sort of seems like a long time ago now, but I think one that
the nominees
stood
are
out for me was a little company with the code THC. Which is the active compound in marijuana.
So that's got to be a coincidence.
So you have to under what
surely I was taking
it that this company did. This is Hydropo, which is a...
Hydroponics,
right?
THC. So I'm getting a vibe. I'm getting a vibe. I'm thinking computer software.
We're being a bit unfair to Hydropo here because there's a whole range of so-called pot stocks. And there's been a bit of a buzz about this sort of being legalized for medical uses. That's going to require a whole bunch of sort of commercial level operations. And there's a whole bunch of companies supposedly with the license to do this and a huge market to participate in.
Yes.
And we saw shares get really quote unquote high. Do you like that?
This is starting off really badly, mate. We're going to smoke this episode. Look, we saw companies appoint...
Yeah, you're making me a bit paranoid, mate. Go on.
Hungry?
Yes.
Lucky we're not sampling the product.
That's to be debated.
Yeah,
I think.
So companies appointed advisors. Some bloke called Dr. Cannabis was appointed as an advisor to one company and the shares shot up.
That's right.
Another mining company, I'm pretty sure it was called Queensland Bauxite, announced it would start looking into this stuff. Even Blackmore said, maybe we'll do something with, you know, hemp or marijuana or something. And
you can't make this stuff up.
The market, the segment, the sector, the group of stocks that like to know themselves as marijuana stocks really took off.
They really did.
What about THC?
THC kind of bumbled around for much of the year. It got down to about 20 cents and then it exploded up to over a dollar. So it was a five-fold increase, almost a six-fold increase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every stock market forum in the country was lit up. There's probably another bad pun in there. It was lit up and lo and behold, it you know, the claims were too bold, the expectations too rich, and things came crashing back down. So shares down a good 50% almost from where they were. Now, to be fair, these guys are still up 50% where they started the year. So I'll give them credit for that. But it's something that we must mention because every year, without fail, this kind of stuff happens. Some sexy macro story comes. People get super excited. The price, even when there's a nugget, and by the way, any good bubble, there's a good nugget of truth here. And there is with the pot stocks.
Dude, if the nominations process went this long on the Logies, it would fairly come take 3 days.
Sorry. Okay, so anyway.
They didn't even win the award.
They didn't win the award.
Who was the winner?
Mate.
Drum roll, hang on.
The winner is GetSwift.
GetSwift.
ASX code GSW.
Has a little bit of revenue.
They make about $1 million
In revenue. Not making any profit.
Oh, no, they're not making any profit.
About 6-7 people in the company?
Yeah, but it's SaaS. It's software as a service type thing. Fair. They're doing some pretty cool little bit of tech for logistics companies, deliveries companies, that kind of stuff.
Apparently Amazon's a customer.
And they made an announcement that Amazon, they're gonna work with Amazon.
They signed a deal
really
with Amazon.
We talked about this on a previous podcast.
We did.
Shares basically went up 100%. So this is a company that's gone from 28 cents at the start of the year.
Okay, up what? Probably doubled or tripled?
No, mate, it's gone to $4. Actually, it went to $4.60 at one point.
At that point, it was worth about $500 million.
$500 million.
Winner.
Now, again, we mentioned in a previous podcast that the companies don't really have much responsibility for terms of what the market does. If their shares, they're just running their business. So we won't be too harsh with them. But this is another classic example of over-exuberance and the market just getting carried away. So when it comes to deciding what's going to be the most overhyped stock for 2017, GetSwift definitely wins.
And
the gold fully.
We've almost guaranteed that it's going to go up again.
Oh, now that we've said that, you know, just, absolutely.
Get more Motley Fool money advice at fool.com.au/MMM.
Let's move to the next category.
The next category is Deal of the Year.
Deal of the Year.
Deal of the Year. So we're talking about the corporate Deal of the Year. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of runners-up. First was Fox selling to Disney.
Right. Well, most of its assets at least.
We talked about this again 2-3-4 weeks ago.
Yep.
So a very, very, very big corporate deal. Murdoch offloading the television and film part of the business, mm-hmm. getting squillions of dollars for it. We thought that was actually a pretty sensible deal, actually, didn't we?
I think that's pretty right. They're getting rid of almost everything other than the TV stations, the Fox Sports and the Fox News. Disney gets a bit of extra heft. It gets to launch its own streaming channel with lots and lots of more content.
Yep.
Puts the entertainment business kind of together to some degree and gives them a chance to fight against Netflix, at the same time being a good deal for Murdoch, who's getting on in years and the boys don't seem super keen to take over the business.
Yeah. Another runner-up we had to mention was the Domain spin-off from Fairfax.
Yeah.
Which was a really interesting one. So Fairfax, obviously, being the guys who published The Age and The Sydney Morning Herald.
Correct.
And a bunch of other stuff. A
whole lot of original papers.
Whole bunch of structural troubles there that we've talked about a lot on the show. Newspapers just really struggling with the new media, I suppose. But within that stable of assets they had was this little nugget called Domain, which is online business that does real estate. It's like real estate online. It was spun off, and we thought it was a very, very good deal because at a point you were getting Fairfax essentially for free as a shareholder there, as well as your Domain shares.
That's a pretty good deal.
Not a bad deal.
Not
but
the best deal.
The winner.
Not the largest deal, we should say.
For the best deal.
Drum roll.
Of 2017 was
Westfield.
$33 billion.
$33 billion. The lowies have had enough. Thank you very much. Again, Frank is getting on in years. He's not too, I think he's a little bit senior to Rupert Murdoch, or maybe just under, but they're both in their mid-80s. Mm-hmm. The boys have been running the company on Frank's behalf for quite a few years now. And I have to say, I know I'm getting old, but I was surprised to hear that Frank Lowy's sons are also grandparents themselves. You kind of think of the boys as being 40-something, and in my mind, they're still that age. But they're all getting on. Frank had always said he didn't want Westfield to be a dynasty, and he got made an offer by a European property conglomerate that he frankly couldn't refuse.
$10.
He said he wants at least $10, so for $10.01, and the deal was done.
And he said deal, a very, very good deal, and a good deal for shareholders too, we think, at the time. So one, and just to clarify, that's for the overseas assets, not for the Australian local.
Which aren't part of Westfield anyway,
they're,
right?
They now belong to another company called Centre.
Motley Fool Money. For more, go to fool.com.au/MMM.
The biggest surprise of 2017, mate, there were, we thought, who are the finalists here for the gold fully, for biggest surprise?
There's only one, you haven't watched Logan in a long time.
No.
Everyone gets a silver Logan.
Oh, do they?
Only one goes, oh, God, Logan.
I hate award shows. Can I say that even though we're doing an award show? I'm just not a fan.
No, you can't.
Okay, too late. Note to the editors, please edit that out.
This will never make it to air, mate, I promise.
But who are we kidding, mate? There is only one. It is Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, the biggest surprise of the year.
Now, this is...
I'm not surprised I made some money.
You sure did. In fact, you could have made a hell of a lot more money because this thing went from about $1,000 per Bitcoin to $25,000 in a year. You get to a point now where the daily fluctuations in Bitcoin value are worth more than what the whole thing was worth at the beginning of the year.
Right, you know.
Just to put that in perspective.
I think at one point it moved more, I think we've said this on podcast before, moved more in 6 hours than it was worth in the month of January
alone. It is just phenomenal. Yep, and what is, I think, so I've got to be careful here. There's nothing new under the sun, as the old saying goes. But I think what might be unique, new, a first here is that this is, if I dare use the word, a bubble which is truly global. So this is something with anyone with a smartphone anywhere in the world, whether you're in the back of Zimbabwe or you're in downtown Manhattan, you can participate in this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where no one knows really what's going on. We've tried to wrap our heads around it a few times. We kind of get close, but like a bar of soap, it always sort of slips from our grasp. And it is frankly showing no signs of going, here we could sort of talk about this bigger surprise. This thing might be worth $250,000 per Bitcoin this time next year. But we think it deserved the biggest surprise fully, just because almost by definition, when you see gains of that size, no one was expecting. I mean, otherwise, everyone would have bought it, right? It exactly. In fact, you would have bought it in 2009 if you had any inclination this was going to happen. So the biggest surprise, the biggest folly, definitely is Bitcoin.
It's the one we don't have any nominations for because, frankly, this was just streeted the field by so much.
It wasn't needed. In fact, it could have won a few different category awards there.
You know, different things. But all that. Well, it was the year of Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, it was.
Maybe the gold filly should go to Bitcoin.
And I said this to you, a couple of weeks ago. When you get to a situation where every taxi or Uber that you jump into, every person you meet at a barbecue, everyone is just talking about it, you know that something is going on.
Real money advice from real people. Not just a couple of dicks with a Porsche. Get more at fool.com.au/MMM.
Next, I'm going to announce the biggest bankruptcy folly.
Oh.
For a few during the year.
There always are.
We'll start with one of the nominations was an international bankruptcy we thought we'd include just because there are some implications or potential implications when it comes to Australian retail. And that was Toys R Us. The American company. Remember World for Kids?
Mm-hmm.
You all love to remember that? So Maya tried to launch this World for Kids kind of spin-off idea to compete with Toys R Us when it came to Australia. It died a horrible, horrible death. Mm. And Toys R Us was the unbeatable, the behemoth, the clear winner. Biggest range, big stores, low prices, the whole lot. It went broke.
It did.
Now, it went broke partly because they frankly levied up too much, and debt is always a bad thing, at least in those
sizes.
That old
chestnut, hey?
Right, right.
Always.
But in any case, if there was that debt and the sales and profits were enough, you could pay back the money.
Mm.
Clearly, this business is not one that's been firing on all cylinders.
Too much debt, overreach, not fighting effectively on the online front.
Now, an honourable mention goes to Slater and Gordon, who didn't quite go bankrupt.
They managed
to avoid being a legitimate contender, but went as close as you can pretty much get without literally going down the tubes. So Slater and Gordon gets an honourable mention.
Everyone was talking about Slater and Gordon. It just went, if you were an early investor in Slater and Gordon and you sold at the right time, it's a very important caveat, it made a fortune. It just went and up and up and up.
And then
acquisitions, expansions, all of that kind of stuff. And then it came down on an adjusted basis because they have raised some money. Mm. Shares have gone from about $800 adjusted down to $3 in the space of 2017.
That's a massive fall.
But they didn't
go broke. So the winner of the biggest bankruptcy folly of 2017 is
Network 10.
Of course, Network 10, owned by the moguls. It was owned at one point by Bruce Gordon and Lachlan Murdoch and Gina Reinhart. There was some belief, some allegations, allegedly, et cetera, that maybe the company was going to be taken out by Gordon and Murdoch after it entered bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
But the American giant CBS came and took it out from under their nose.
They sure did.
Channel 10 still in existence as an operating entity.
Yep.
Unfortunately, shareholders got exactly zero. And so Channel 10 is our biggest bankruptcy of 2017.
Talk about a big turnaround as well. Those guys were doing very well for a long, long period of time, particularly in the early noughties. You know, they were just on fire.
Mate, they had The Simpsons that was rating its head off, and Channel 10 was the most commercially successful network in the country.
Yeah.
Talk about roosted feather duster.
Mate, you can never take your finger off the pulse, can
you?
Really good point. No matter how well things go, there's always the potential for things to turn around. So,
good point.
Nokia and Kodak also come to mind there as well.
Motley Fool Money. Financial advice for real people, not trust fund hippies. Sign up for the newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
This is a good folly. This is the Head in the Sand Award.
That sounds like a good one.
This is for those sort of corporate players that really just fail to acknowledge things that were really coming at them. The blindingly
obvious. The ostrich folly.
The ostrich folly. Just la, 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 la. I don't want to know. I don't want to. It doesn't exist.
When you were a kid, did you used to put your head underwater in the pool so you couldn't hear mum and dad calling?
No, that's...
all the time.
Really?
Oh, you swim around there. You call them, you go underwater, and then you pop up quickly, take a breath to get back down again.
I'm glad you came up for air.
And then, you pretend that, you know, of course you knew they were yelling at you. You kept going underwater, so they couldn't get your attention. It was terrible. My sister and I used
Mate,
to.
Mate, I think that is definitely just you and your sister.
No, well, possibly.
For one, you have to be in the pool for that to be an effective technique, unless you're running in and jumping in the pool every
the
time like, they scream.
Come get out of the pool, Scott. Get out of the pool, Scott.
Blub. I get you.
Yeah, it was great. Worked perfectly.
No, that is not resonating.
Dude, you
for
missed
me.
Out.
That is not resonating. For me. Having said that, yes. I am a classic for putting my head in the sand. Okay. I am very good at that.
Are you better than Jerry Harvey?
No one is better than Jerry Harvey.
One person is better than Jerry Harvey. Well, let's go with Jerry for now.
Okay, that's very true. So he was a runner-up.
Yes.
Poor old Jerry. We're not a poor old mega billionaire Jerry. Let's not feel too sorry
he's
for
not,
the guy.
He's not too upset.
And he's
morning,
had phenomenal corporate say. Success here as well. Right, so I'm right. sure he's not going to lose any sleep that we're having a little bit of fun at his expense. he said it'll take Amazon 18 months to 3 years to set up here.
Jerry.
And turns out they set up very, very, very quickly.
That was always mad. I think we've said on the podcast, that was always mad. I have to believe, Jerry's not that silly, right? So I've got to believe it was basically Jerry's way of trying to play down the threat of Amazon for his customers and his franchisees. Mm. Look, this will be fine. It'll take forever. Just buy himself some time, kind of keep everyone settled down. Amazon leased a warehouse, put some racking up, filled it with products and were selling within about a month or two of kind of starting that process. Because, of course, you could always lease a warehouse. You could always lease racking. It was never going to take that long. Yes, if they were building from scratch in new land with new constructions.
Right.
If they built their own warehouse, sure. And Jerry might say, well, that was what I meant. The reality was he tried to infer that Amazon was years away, probably. It took about 3 months.
There was just so much noise out there of how quick it was going to happen as well. So, again, that is a very honourable mention.
But he wasn't the best.
He wasn't the best.
At least his business is continuing
His business is still, at this point in time, is still sort of on the right path.
So which company could have its head further in the sand than good old Jerry?
The foolie here has to go to poor old Maya. Oh. It's new Maya strategy that's going to beat Amazon somehow and everyone
else. Just trust
else.
Us. Sales are still falling, but honestly, this new Maya thing is going to be brilliant.
Mate, these guys just get in further and further trouble. And it's all okay. It's all okay. Shares are down 53% throughout 2017. The year's not even, as we record this, not fully over yet, so maybe it'll get a little bit worse. I'm going to throw them a bone here. At the same time, if you're CEO, you have to present a positive. You can't go and go, oh, we're screwed. You can't do that, can you?
Frankly, the pressures of corporate reality probably mean you can't. I'm reminded of Intel boss Andy Grove and Gordon Moore of Moore's Law fame, for those who know that. Andy Grove tells a great story. They were trying to work out whether to get out of the semiconductor business or not. Mm-hmm. No, membership business, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I think membership business. And they were kind of tossing and turning and arguing against the management team, the whole lot. And Andy Grove and Gordon Moore were in Andy Grove's office at one point. And Andy Grove turns to Gordon Moore and says, Gordon, if we got sacked tomorrow, another management team come in, what would they do? Mm. And Gordon says, oh, that's easy. They'd get rid of the memory chip business tomorrow. And Andy Grove's like, well, why don't we just walk outside, come back in, and just do exactly that? And that's what they did. Wow. So they kind of went, yes, this is what we've always done.
I know that story.
It's a great story. And it's true. So that's, you know, the beauty of, yes, you can do two things. You can either try and make the best of the situation you're in, or you can try and change the situation. Maya cannot, I am absolutely convinced, succeed with the number of stores they have, the amount of square footage they have in those stores. It is just too big, too unwieldy, and consumer preferences are changing too fast for Maya to succeed at the same size it is. And it has to, at some point, say, enough is enough. The strategy of new Maya is not just make some tweaks to merchandising, tweaks to service, and wait for things to recover.
Yep.
You have to acknowledge in a new retail world, department stores don't win in large numbers anywhere in the world right now.
Yeah.
Small individual department stores, a couple or three in high volume locations will succeed.
Yep.
You just can't have 10, 20, 30, 40 department stores. DJs are facing the same problem, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just a dead format or a dying format. And if they just try and say, well, on the way to oblivion, we'll try and do a little bit better.
Yep.
You're still going to end up in the same place.
Look, you don't envy the guys. It is a super tough job. So again, it's easy to put they are sailing into, you know, the kind of winds that, you know, the best sailor is going to struggle with, to really murder the analogy. But you know, it is the hardest
dropping
thing.
Dropping anchor and trimming the spinnaker.
It is the hardest thing to do. There's a lot of business that are in a huge amount of trouble. Often the smartest thing to do is actually run it. With the intention of it going bankrupt. So you say, look, this thing has gone in, let's say, 10 years. We know it's going to go wrong.
Yep.
So let's stop, you know, wasting money on new ventures. Let's cut our costs. Let's keep things viable as long as we can. But we are going to extract as much money for this while still delivering on our service proposition broadly. And although that's, you know, not ideal, but that's a business isn't worth zero. And in fact, you can get a good return on a business in decline at the right price. You're at a point now where the market is pretty much factoring it in anyway, right? So again, no board or very few shareholders are going to sort of acknowledge that. Yet it is the smart thing to do in many, many situations.
Yep. Myer's halved in the last year, as you already mentioned, Andrew. Mm. Market cap now of only $500 million.
Yeah.
That's tiny, right? That's kind of, this was the once great Myer. It's now struggling for survival. And as you say, you've either got to do some drastic surgery or run it for cash. But the new Myer strategy where you somehow revitalise the merchandising or the range or the staff.
That ain't your problem.
It's not. And we mentioned last week, even the best manager running a terrible business is going to struggle.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to be a Myer CEO for all the money in China. Or the tea in China.
The next...
To use the correct phrase.
Use the proper term.
Value stocks.
Market.
Stock market.
Index.
Share market.
This is Motley Fool Money. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
The next foolie goes to the most money blown up. And, wow, were there some real contenders here. And
speaking of corporate CEOs trying to do the best thing or the right thing or frankly the corporate imperative and spending a whole lot of money trying to grow for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Tell me about our nominee Vocus, Andrew.
Vocus, and again, I've put my hand up for this one. It was one that I recommended.
That wasn't my intention. I'm sorry, mate.
No, well, it is what it is. You can deny these things or you can accept reality, right? It happens.
I'm in favor of denial.
And these guys really went on a huge acquisition binge. And they were gobbling when the telco industry was consolidating. They were doing it. Everyone was doing it, and growth was just spectacular.
Yep.
And then we reached a point where it's kind of like all the low hanging fruit was gone. All the consolidation opportunities had dried up, and as a result of that, when you could no longer juice earnings growth through acquisition, therefore the earnings dried up as well. So then the share price started to fall to reflect that new reality. And frankly, that was not a surprise for me at all. I think we'd talked about that a lot. But it got to a level where you kind of think, well, at this point, they don't need to grow too much. The shares have fallen significantly enough where I think that there's still a good chance that shares represent value.
Dude, that's a very good defense of your buy decision. It's not, however, what the fully.
Well, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
I got
a long run up.
I got to rationalize. The second problem, and it was a risk that was known, but that one was certainly not given enough weight, was that they had a serious case of corporate indigestion.
Yeah.
The challenges of integrating those businesses,
like me on Christmas Day about 4:30 in the afternoon.
That's just, I'm well asleep by that stage. By the way, it wasn't pretty, and they were write downs. The dividend got cut. They had to flog off their New Zealand business, a business that they didn't buy that long ago,
it was imperative to their corporate strategy until it wasn't, and they wanted to get rid of it again.
Mate, you know what we have to do as well? I'm going to throw this one on left field. We had to mention RFG. That was a lot of money was blown up there as well. $7 at the start of the year, down to $4 at the time of down to $2.50 at the time of recording. Mm-hmm. So again, we have to give that one an honourable mention.
I'm going to have to show you the rules of this one, because this is the corporate blow up. This is the management acquisitions that went bad, not just share prices.
I thought while we were reveling in our failures, we might as well get that one out.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to do a 3-for-3 here, because the winner of the most money blown up this year is the media content business iCensure, the media monitoring company that thought, it's a recommendation of mine, thought it would be clever to get into the content business. It was all about social media and networking and virality and God knows what else. And so iCensure, who previously just said, hey, here's what happened on the web, decided they'd go into the, hey, here's what we can make happen on the web. Mm. So they bought a business called King Content, which subsequently is worth, let's say, .3, carry the one, subtract, exactly zero.
Zero.
They've written down that business to zero. They've closed it down. They originally tried to rebrand it. So it's not King Content anymore. It's part of the iCensure business. Now they've pretty much said this was just a stupid idea. They literally torched 100% of that money. In fact, more, because not only did they give the vendors some cash for the deal, they then lost money on it for about 2 years before they finally realized that it was a dog and they should take it out back.
Share price halved over 2017.
Absolute disaster. They blew up a fortune of shareholders' money in the quest for growth. Peter Lynch talks about diversification, in other words, diversification that makes things worse.
Yes.
This wasn't pure diversification, but it certainly was. I sent you getting into a business they frankly never had any business being in. This wasn't their core business. They didn't have a core competency there. And whether or not the vendor took them for a ride or whether they just got themselves in trouble is kind of immaterial. if you make a bad deal, you're going to get absolutely spanked for it. And Accenture shareholders are much the poorer for Accenture's misadventure.
Some painful lessons in all of those companies, which I think we should revisit in a future podcast. We're a sucker
for
punishment.
I'll look forward to that one.
Mate, if you've got to get something out of these
experiences. I'll bring the gin. Yeah,
I think you, when you can look back on, there are lessons. That everything's easy in hindsight, of course, but I think there are lessons to be learned.
Get more Motley Fool money advice at fool.com.au/MMM.
The finance word of the year.
Oh, God, our industry is the best.
Now.
The best for jargon.
Speaking of jargon.
I'll take any contender there. We will beat you hands down in terms of jargon and useless terminology.
Speaking of jargon and useless, about a month ago on this very podcast, you tried to go into a description of some internet technology by throwing out TCP/IP.
TCP/IP.
Which is...
Well, actually, that's being a bit unfair because that isn't finance jargon, my friend. That is tech jargon.
Well, I was on a finance podcast and I get to make fun of you, so it's worth including.
And I said to you last week, you say it confidently, you say it quickly. You don't have to understand what it is.
You don't actually know what it stands for, do you?
I have no idea what it stands for.
All right.
But it is a transfer protocol for the way that the internet communicates with itself.
You're lucky I don't know enough to correct you on that one.
Please don't write in if you're in the technology industry and point out.
Oh mate, they've stopped listening long ago. Yeah. I can't deal with this stuff anymore. All right, so that was not really a finalist, but it was fun.
I had to give fintech a nod here. So fintech's actually been doing the rounds for a little while, but 2017 it was still front and center.
It's all about fintech.
This is an aggregation of financial and technology.
A portmanteau, is that actually called?
Thank you. I was looking for that word.
We throw two words together to kind of make another like Tomcat.
Yes.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Yes.
You like that?
I do like that. I would have thought that.
Bennifer? Ben Affleck and Jennifer.
Yes.
Garner? Jennifer Garner?
I don't know. I'm all up with my corporate stuff.
But fintech. Kim Kardashian and Kanye.
Let's move on, dude. Right. Let's get out of the celebrity gossip column. So fintech is it's this idea that there is a lot of disruption to be had in the financial space. Technology and software we know are eating the world, to use that well hackneyed phrase. And it's just something, it's one of those things that if you were going to launch a business, like by saying that you're in lithium or you're a pot stock or something like that, you mention the word fintech and all of a sudden your valuation goes up by about tenfold.
Do you remember the Sesame Street episode where the monster would take two parts of the word? Andrew.
Is that the two-headed
Andrew?
Yes.
I don't know. With fintech, I'm hearing financial technology. Money, tech. Fintech. And that's kind of the way the market's taken off. Right?
It's nothing like fintech. Putting a grubby label on something to make it worth
money,
more money.
And kind of cool, weird,
so
codey
cool
stuff. This can't possibly go badly. I will say now, I've said this on Twitter before, I will go on record as saying that some of the financial technology, the fintech companies, will, in the fullness of time, be significantly overvalued from this point.
I love a lot of fintech companies, but just by calling yourself a fintech doesn't make your existing business model or the unit economics any better. Yep.
I think there are companies out there that won't have a business in 5 years' time, but more importantly and probably broader, I think there'll be companies out there who have expectations and of whom shareholders have expectations that won't be fulfilled.
Yep.
Some will, by the way. I'm not saying the whole sector is crap.
Yep.
Just I think there's a lot of expectation built into that sector. Anything, as you say, that's called fintech all of a sudden has a great valuation that probably won't be brought to bear.
Now, mate, the winner, without a doubt. Now, we kind of related to this before, but we're going to use the term that gets people super excited.
Can I do my Sesame Street thing?
Okay.
Oh, it's kind of a portmanteau too, right?
Is it? Yeah.
Oh, not quite.
No, I don't know.
Block.
Chain.
Block.
Chain.
Block.
Blockchain.
Blockchain.
Yay! Yay! What is it? But it's big.
We've devolved to Sesame Street, mate. This might very well be our last podcast. When we sign off for the year, that might actually be forever as far as we know.
Mate, what was just the other day we were talking, there was a company that just added blockchain to its name and it shares around like a million.
The Long Island Iced Tea Company is now called Long Island Blockchain.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it? And what happened to the share price? How far did it go up?
Millions.
This is reminiscent of the .com boom when all of a sudden a company would add .com to the end of its name and the share price would triple.
You know, Walmart.com actually listed its online business, called it Walmart.com, and it was, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say for the record here as well, I've said it before, I'm a big fan of the technology. I think it is...
Of the block, of the chain.
I love both of it. I love both. I think it is...
The portman and the toe.
I think it is a technology that will prove to be very, very, very big. Whether or not that happens to be big in association with Bitcoin or Litecoin or Ethereum or anything, but in terms of the technology itself, I think it will be absolutely phenomenal. And again, any good ramp up needs it. nugget of truth to it. There is a lot of truth to it, but again, it had to get the Fully of the Year award for finance of the word, just because it is something that just gets people super excited whenever it's attached to anything.
Blockchain.
Blockchain.
Welcome to Motley Fool Blockchain.
Real money advice from real people. Not just a couple of dicks with a Porsche. Get more at fool.com.au/MMM.
The lesson of the year.
This is a perpetual fool, I reckon.
Yes, yes.
What is the lesson of this year and probably every single year?
I mean, it's one that is a hard one to accept because we always like to think we're cleverer than anyone else, but it's this idea that
we get the foolie for being too clever.
It's this idea that you can time the market. And I remember at the start of the year, it was last year, in fact, that UBS had their sell everything.
Oh, last February it was. Getting close to 2 years
ago. 2 years, and what's the market done since?
I'll be up 20-something percent.
And again, it's not that they weren't irrational. There was completely irrational arguments, but you will always see these very smart, very well-structured, very reasonable, in a lot of cases, arguments about why something is going to happen.
Yeah.
But the why and the when are two very, very different points. So there's this wonderful saying, I forget who, maybe you'll remind me, who says bubbles can go on far longer than what you think is possible.
The market can remain irrational than you can remain solvent, is what you're reaching for.
Thank you very much.
So the index was at 4,700 odd points when that call was made. It's now over 6,000.
I mean, I've done it as well. How many times have we had fun at my expense in terms of whether it be Bitcoin,
that's pretty
in
much terms
of whether it can be
it.
The housing
You're
bubble.
A very kind man.
You know, it's like, again, I would argue that I could make a pretty sensible case for it, but geez, those things just keep going on and on and on. And thank God I wasn't dumb enough to try and time it by taking opposite positions or anything like that. So I guess one of those things is just come back to it.
Right.
And here's the other thing. You don't need – here's the biggest secret of all. You don't actually need to have any ability to time to still do well.
Right. I think that's a really good point. So, look, you know, there are people every year who'll make prognostications. 1 year out of every six or seven, they end up being right, and so the media takes them out for dinner and tells them they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. The simple reality is that if you'd ask anyone else at the beginning of the year how would we finish, no one would know. Ask it a year before, a year after, people will still not know. They'll make prognostications because, as the old saying goes, experts forecast not because they know, but because they're asked.
Yeah.
And so I get asked regularly, as you do on TV, hey, Scott, what's going to happen by Christmas? And my answer is, I don't know.
Well, you sound really dumb when you say,
I don't know. You're supposed to know, right?
You know, and it sounds like a cop out. Like, how could you not know? Yeah. But it's the honest answer.
Motley Fool Money. For more, go to fool.com.au/MMM.
All right.
Okay,
Two to go.
We're nearing the end.
Bring it in with a wet sail, mate. Come on.
The second last foolie is highest share price of the year.
Hey.
Run us through some of the finalists.
Well, let's start with CSL, the Australian biotech giant, doing fantastic things, growing at a rate of knots.
Such a success story.
$40 as we record this.
$40. Did I ever tell you that I bought them at below $30?
Hey, well done.
I'm so smart.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
So you made what?
No, let's not go. I bought them at that price. Yeah, That's all that matters. That's all you need to know.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, I did this.
You sold them, didn't you?
I sold them. And I remember at the time it was a 50% price. I thought, God, I'm smart. And I did it really quickly.
You can't go broke taking a profit.
You can't go broke taking a profit, mate. And they're $140 today. So you know what? The second nomination, you know, I did exactly the same with this thing as well, which was Cochlear. When they had their recall, I was backing the truck up. Not only did I bought a lot.
Hey.
For me, I bought a lot.
So the shares were at 55, 60 bucks. You've tripled your money.
Here's another lesson here as well. I got miles away from the bottom. There's no way I bought them at $55.
Oh, so you doubled your money.
So no, actually, I made a good 30% profit in the space of about, I'm going to say, 8 or 9 months.
Hey, well done.
Genius. So smart. Except they're worth $174 today. And I pay tax on that as well. So there's a whole bunch of lessons there. But when you get and by the way, I would put CSL and Cochlear as amongst two best companies on the ASX.
Now, six times the price of that.
Oh.
Amazon.com.
How have we gotten this far without mentioning Amazon?
Wow. We're lucky we've rectified that. Yep. $1,174, so call it $1,500 among friends.
Yep.
Not bad for a dot-com retailer that hasn't really had any significant profit.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That's all right, isn't it?
But
yes.
Even that pales into insignificance.
Or double it, triple it?
Next to what we like to call Uncle Warren.
Uncle Warren.
Uncle B.
We like... No one calls him Uncle B.
I'm trying to get some momentum behind Uncle B.
Mr. You also tried to get some Buffet Trump dump, as I recall.
That's right. Yeah, that didn't catch on either.
No.
One day it will.
Yeah.
And then I'll get no credit for it.
Maybe let's not make you in charge of viral media for the
film. Let's not do that. All right. So Berkshire Hathaway,
Uncle Warren,
the series, the A-class chairs,
yes,
are now worth around $300,000 each. That's about $380,000 Australian.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
That's the price of half a bedroom in Sydney.
you might get a car space for that amount.
Well,
almost
in the suburbs.
But yeah, maybe, maybe.
That's $300,000 US, $380,000 Australian bucks. That is just, you know, look, and we should say, we always do say, the actual price per share doesn't matter. It's the value of your enterprise that matters.
Yes.
You can have one share worth a million or a million shares worth a buck.
Same
company's
thing.
Still worth the same thing. But,
and that's why he's there. He's never done a stock split.
Right. And frankly, this is one where it's not the largest company in the world, but I think it's probably the fifth or sixth largest.
There. It's way up there.
Yeah. Uncle Warren, $300,000. And you can buy the B-class shares, though, for $200.
Yeah. And it's another good lesson there, too, of plenty of people saying, oh, I'd like to buy it, but it's too expensive and all the rest. It was $50,000, I think, around the turn of the century.
Motley Fool Money. Financial advice for real people, not trust fund hippies. Sign up for the newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
The Gold Foolie.
The Gold Foolie.
The award of awards. The one that everybody wants.
Camera pans to all the contenders.
And the nominations
There's no other nominations, mate.
No other nominations.
The best financial podcast of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, this is... I mean, now we thought this was a good idea.
What is it?
Triple M's Motley Fool Money.
Bang! Crowd goes wild.
And all of a sudden, podcasts, players around the country, click. Flake off. That is just pathetic.
Mate, you only say that because it was my idea.
Yeah, it sounded good when we were having breakfast. So I'm really regretting
to
it.
To be fair, it is objectively the very best podcast that you and I do.
That is very true.
There you go.
Without a doubt.
Podcast of the year.
Yep, my mum's favourite. Hi, Mum.
I don't think my mum listens.
Mate, on that note, thank you very much. What we will do next year, we might actually add a little bit, if we're still going next year after that, is we might add a little bit more formality to it. And we will ask for people to send through some nominations.
Oh, I like that.
And that way, we can make our job a lot easier.
Pretty much, yeah.
And
that saves at least 15 minutes.
We'll start an institution. We've had the inaugural Foolies of 2017.
The second annual Foolies this time next year.
Fantastic.
And maybe you and I have a breakfast with
that. And I'll wear my tuxedo shorts again. Maybe my tuxedo thongs.
Just wear clothes.
Okay, that's a step up. It's a step up.
Well, yeah. Okay. That's people have got mental images now. Fools, I did say last week, and I will say again, thank you very much for listening this year. Mm-hmm. This is our last podcast for the year, but God willing, and the good people at Triple M not realising we're still doing it, we'll be back next week, and we will bring you a look ahead for 2018. So we're looking forward to that.
Didn't we just say that you can't look ahead? Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. I see what you're doing. Okay. Nice.
Maybe. I'm going to put it out there. I haven't run this past you yet. Maybe some outrageous predictions even.
I can do that.
Just for the fun of it.
I can tell you what's going to happen.
Fools, thank you very much for listening. As always, thank you for another great year. We really appreciate it. And Andrew Page, to you, thank you for being my podcast partner this year.
Back at you, mate.
It has been an absolute blast.
Always
had
good
a great
fun.
Time.
Always
we,
good
we
fun.
We really appreciate the listeners who do listen and do interact with us. If you want to get in touch, please email us at info@fool.com.au. Follow us on Twitter on @TheMotleyFoolAU, or one word. We have a Facebook page where you can tweet at Andrew @Sage_Simeon.
That's a Twitter account.
Right.
Yeah. I think you said Facebook. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. @Sage_Simeon.
What's that again?
Wise Monkey.
Okay. And I'm @T.
Almost a Portman 2, whatever you called it.
No, it's not.
No.
The underscore makes it two words.
I know.
Or I'm @TMF, as in the Motley Fool, @TMF Scott P. Please tweet at us. If you've got something interesting to do, tweet at me. If you want to have a go at someone, Andrew's the best one to go with. Other than that, thank you for listening.
Don't forget, you can subscribe to Triple M Motley Fool Money podcast through iTunes and your favourite Android podcast app. And if you like what we're doing, please give us a fat 5-star rating on iTunes and tell your friends. I'm sure they could use a little Foolie Street Talk too. That's it.
Pretty good. You could do phone disclaimer.
I really could.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Authorised by Scott Phillips, Canberra. That's it for this week's Motley Fool Money. Until next week, fool on.
Fool on.
The Motley Fool and people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. General advice only. Please speak to your financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your situation. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM. The Motley Fool operates under Financial Services Licence 400691.